This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Equal Agenda. Today we have a very special guest joining us, which is Louise Hutt from the Hamilton City Council. This episode is kind of based around women in the workplace, specifically leadership. I'm your host, Isabel.
And I'm Molly.
We're just going to get straight into it. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and the mahi that you do?
Sure. Thank you for having me. So I'm the chair of Council's Regulatory and Hearings Committee. I'm also chair of the Climate Advisory Panel, which is the working group tasked with making sure that we stay on track with our climate strategy. I was chair of the Access Hamilton Working Group, which is our transport strategy working group. And I also hold the portfolios for older people, disability, and not officially, but I often get tasked with youth and rainbow communities as well.
Amazing. How would you personally define the concepts of leadership and change making?
It's a really good question. And I think probably if you'd asked me 3 years ago before I was elected, I might have had a different answer for you. I think a lot about how leadership is sometimes about having uncomfortable conversations, or those are at least the times in which I've most needed to see leadership. Leadership is really not being afraid to speak out or speak up. And certainly in a council context, there are a lot of our communities that don't feel represented at council, don't feel like they can come in and have a voice and be listened to and taken seriously. And I think that's another aspect of that, feeling like you can speak up and you can say, hey, got some thoughts on this. I think maybe we could be doing better here. And so I guess it's leadership is really the courage to be able to do that and do it well and do it safely.
Yeah. Very insightful answer.
Yeah, I like that because I feel like the traditional, when I think of leadership, I just think of it as being like one person who steps forward and is like the leader over a group of people. And I feel like that is maybe an outdated definition now, because like leadership can come from so many different angles and it can be a shared responsibility as well.
Totally. I think that leadership can look like lots of different things. But it is also about, if you want to be a particular kind of leader, like if you want to be elected to city council, you need to be able to say to people, hey, I have a vision. It's a matter of having that relationship between community where your vision is their vision and their vision is your vision, and that's why they want to put you there. I think that you really need to know who you are. What are the communities that you come from? Where do you have that depth of connection? And you need to be really clear about what you stand for and what you will or won't accept from the people around you and from the community around you.
Cool. So you've obviously spent the last few years working in various community leadership roles. So what was your pathway into your current roles at the council and Go Eco?
I have the weirdest career, like,
that's okay.
Pathway. So I came to Hamilton in 2011 to study at the University of Waikato. I had a scholarship to do a Bachelor's of Media and Creative Technologies, and I focused my undergrad on graphic design. And I worked across graphic design, filmmaking, photography for a really long time. But working with community organizations and, you know, taking their mission and values and the amazing work that so many community organizations do on the ground and being like, let's make a video talking about that, or let's redesign your website so that it's easy for funders to make sure that they keep funding you. That was such a natural fit for me in terms of getting to use all of these like technical skills with also this really important impact on the community. And then from there, I did some really cool stuff across technology and electricity and cycling advocacy and youth advocacy. But in 2019, I got really embarrassed by council because there was a suite of very poorly behaved councillors. And I was really upset at the time because Hamilton City Council was thinking about whether we declare a climate emergency and do we take climate change seriously. And there was a lot of people on council being like, nah. So that prompted me to run for council the first time, was just kind of like, these people don't represent me. And in 2019, I came 80 votes off being elected to council the first time I ran.
Wow.
And it really heartened me that as a first-time candidate, you know, like my community was like, yeah, you're a totally viable candidate, run again. And so I did, and I was elected.
Yeah, I think it's really relatable to a lot of people, the kind of messy career timeline, because it doesn't have to be straightforward, you know? And I feel like as you get older and you get to know yourself more and what you are into, it's just like ever-changing in a way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love that point. So I saw that you spoke out about the level of abuse that was directed at female counsellors, and we know that this is experienced by so many other women in leadership. So could you give us an idea about what you believe is driving this and how might we collectively change this culture?
I mean, it is misogyny. No matter how you kind of dress it up, like, that is really the deep down of it.
Does it turn into, like, a personal attack instead of...
To do my job, you have to have a level of thick skin. If you are easily upset by people being like, well, you're fat, and I'm like, I'd rather be fat and good at my job. But there's also a level of, like, dirty politics. The truth is irrelevant, right? They're going to say whatever they want about me. It's irrelevant to me being able to do my job and do it well.
Exactly. Mm. Like, at the end of the day, as long as you are capable when it comes to, like, the role that you need to perform, that's all that should matter to them. And I feel like they just take it way too personally and start attacking in places where they really shouldn't. So.
And I sort of take this approach on my social media where I don't tolerate bad faith. And I don't tolerate people who come there to just, like, rack everybody up. Maybe 99% of the time, people are upset about something and they're like, well, this was your fault. And I'm like, well, hold on. You are allowed to be mad at me. You're allowed to not like the decisions that I make. But it does have to be my decision. And actually, this thing that you're mad about, the government has forced us into this rock and a hard place. Mm. And we have very little choices here. Be mad at me for the things I have control over, because that's actual feedback on my job. But you're actually not engaging to be informed. You're just coming here slinging punches. And you can get out of my comment section. Thank you very much. And I think what has been really disheartening is seeing the way that some of my colleagues, who are men, encourage that behaviour, and particularly that behaviour towards me and other women. They're complicit in also misleading the public. Something I found really hard was I was dealing with this for about a year before I said anything publicly.
Yeah, wow.
And I had asked about doing a code of conduct complaint against some of my colleagues. And some of the rhetoric was, you know, like, oh, you'll bring council into disrepute. You know, council will look bad. And I was like,
who cares?
I was like, yeah, but like, it's not my choice that this behavior is happening.
Yeah.
I'm actively trying to say that this is not okay. So, like, how are we going to change this if we don't say that this is not acceptable? And I spent my summer break writing an account of, you know, this is what I've experienced. This is the dynamic I'm seeing. And this is, like, so cooked.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous about publishing it because of all the possible backlash. When I made the choice to publish my write-up, I felt so much relief. Like, the response was incredible and amazing. And it's by far the most read thing I've ever written. It had, like, thousands and thousands and thousands of views. And it just completely changed the game. We now have these, like, people working in media who call me and be like, hey, do you have an opinion about abuse of women? And I'm like, oh, do I?
Yeah.
But, like, they're reaching out to me because they're like, we know that you have said that this is unacceptable. And I think a lot of the time, violence against women and abuse of women, whether that's at home or in the public sphere, it is so hard to feel like you can talk about it. It's so easy to internalize it. And that was certainly, like, the best thing that I did, was daylight it. And it's funny because I'm running for re-election and I'm talking to people about, like, hey, if you could say there was one thing that I did really good this term, what would it be? You know, like, trying to get some external perspectives on that. And, you know, like, I've had more than one person say to me, like, just the fact that you were there and you were angry and you call the men around you on their bullshit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I thought you were going to say, like, the fact that we funded these things or we got a new library. Like, And the really interesting part is that I also heard that from men in my life who said, like, the fact that you were here challenging this, I feel proud of that.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it starts with awareness and it starts with holding people accountable, I suppose. So I think that's really cool that you were able to do that through, like, that writing and just, like, get that opinion out there. And it is cool that now that the media contacts you and asks, like, for your opinion. So, no, definitely worth it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And going back to the news story, seeing so many other female counsellors put out their stories or experiences. Mm. It's just like the importance of showing other women that you're not alone in these issues.
Was that something that you went into the council knowing that if you were to put yourself like in a leadership position that you would be facing that kind of, you were like ready and aware?
Yeah. So I had volunteered and worked in two previous political campaigns before that, and I had worked for Nexus, the Waikato University student magazine. I was one of the editors right at the time when Dirty Politics was happening. If you haven't read the book by Nikki Hager, it's a really good read, but it talks about how particularly the National Party was trying to keep themselves clean, so it was feeding all of these really nasty attack stories to other people to leak stuff that they wanted to attack other people. And this is like what I experience is really similar to that. You have these external groups who are fed particular narratives, and they're the ones who come on the attack. Mm. And some people get to look really squeaky clean, even though they're absolutely, you know, complicit in these narratives.
Yeah.
And so from, I was elected 2022, but I had been involved in politics since 2016. So I'd had a long time to watch how other people were treated, to watch how other women were treated. You just have to look at like Gowers or Kitty Allen or Jacinda Ardern. And those are only recent examples, but there's even older ones than that. So if you pay attention to how women are treated, it's not surprising.
I guess just speaking to the kind of current political sphere going on.
Such a bad time.
The Pay Equity Amendment Bill, just thought something good to touch on. It can be seen as an attack on women's rights. So what is your opinion on this and any other issues concerning gender inequality?
It absolutely is an attack on women's rights.
Yeah.
And it's been really interesting talking to people about it because some people have, you know, strong views and are like, yeah, women's rights, but don't understand how pay equity works. And so it's not necessarily about you and the guy who works next to you and does the same job as you and making sure that both of you are paid the same.
Mm.
That's pay equality.
Yeah.
Pay equity is that women can choose any job in the workforce. You can be a roading engineer or a librarian or a nurse or a mechanic, and those, you are not penalized for choosing what was historically women's work. So you're not paid less for choosing a sector where women are dominant or have historically been dominant. And local government was affected by these changes. I looked at the actual legislative changes, like they've moved it from, previously the requirement was it needed to be a 60% woman-dominated field. And there were all these pay equity claims that got cancelled. So many of them were like 97% women-dominated field, 95% woman-dominated field. Like changing the goalposts from 60 to 70, irrelevant for probably most of those complaints. As a long-time feminist, seeing how angry other people have been, and also men.
Mm.
A friend of mine made a sign that he brought to the protest that said, "Men of quality support pay equality." And I was like, oh, I love some rhyme.
Yeah.
You know, but like he was there. He brought some of his mates. And I was like, thank you. Like, it's not just about women valuing women, but it's also about men being like, this sucks. Don't treat women like this. How does it affect you two? Like, how do you feel about it as young women?
It's disappointing, isn't it? I think, like, a lot of the time I do feel quite powerless when it comes to politics because it's just that mentality of, like, oh, like, when it comes down to your vote, it's like, okay, well, it's my little say, but also, does it really mean that much? You know? I will always vote.
Yeah.
Because it's important to at least try. But, like, when I really start, like, philosophizing everything, or that's not even a word, but
I know what you mean.
Getting all philosophical, I'm like, oh, you know, the world's so big and I'm only so small, like, you know, I think that's the wrong mentality to have. Like, I should always, you always have to remember that, like, at least your little contribution is better than nothing.
But your vote does make a difference.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not just saying that, like, morally or ethically. In 2016, the mayoralty of Hamilton was decided by 6 votes. There was 6 votes difference between who was the mayor and who wasn't. And they had very different ideological views, very different people coming from very different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And that's huge. Like, your participation in democracy is important. You get to re-vote next time if you're like, oh, no, I made a terrible choice. Next time you get to be like, well, I'm changing that.
You get to reevaluate.
Yeah.
I think my opinion on the pay equity bill, just disappointing with the government's attitude towards women, but I think in particular the lower paid women that it is affecting the most, you know, like your carers or your nurses or your teachers. And this is like, this is a whole other side chick, but just how capitalism and the patriarchal society that we live in rewards the wrong kind of careers. And, you know, the more corrupt or, like, I guess you could say less human jobs earn way more.
Yeah, like penalizing women for their, like, caregiving instincts, essentially. Like, because a lot of women go into those, like, teaching jobs or nursing jobs because they are passionate about caring for others.
Yeah.
And then they're penalized in all aspects of their life, because I feel like when it comes to finances, like, money is power, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it really is.
Yeah.
And women are penalized when they are, like, making less money. They have less power.
Yeah.
And it's just really disappointing that the pay equity bill, like, just reinforces that and slows down all kind of potential change for the future. Yeah. Well, it's not, we haven't lost all hope, but certainly, like, slowing the process, isn't it?
Well, I think as well it flows into this agenda of disenfranchisement from this government. And so, like, I've been really careful to say to people, like, be angry and be upset, and there's lots of things that are broken, but don't disengage.
Yeah.
And you might have to pick and choose, pick your fights, and you might have to be really thoughtful about what you choose to engage in, but don't. If you give up, you're giving them what they want.
Yeah.
And that's the same with what I experience, you know. People are trying to harass me out of politics, and I'm like, oh, I'm so stubborn. like, watch me stay because you've done this. Yeah. Like,
wrong girl. Yeah. Don't try me.
I'm not going anywhere. Cool. I guess to get on a lighter note or a more hopeful note, what is your vision for Kirikiriroa, and how would you encourage women and young people to get politically involved within their communities?
That's a really great question. I think it's really important that people deserve to be reflected in our city, to feel like they belong, and to be able to imagine a future for themselves here. And that applies to young people, it applies to women, it applies to migrants, to Māori, you know, to people with disabilities. And it's always going back to, do you see yourself reflected in the decisions that we make? And so I think it's really important that you have people on council who have a diversity of lived experience and who can say, I've been in this community's shoes, or I belong to that community, and I know they're going to be thrilled with this. And, you know, even if you don't always agree with the people who are there to represent you, you at least know they thought about it, and they thought about you, and they considered you in that process. And no one is going to like 100% of the decisions that council makes, ever. But, you know, there's always trade-offs, but you have to believe that it's for the betterment of everybody, even if that means that sometimes you're not top of the list, but sometimes you will be top of the list. I also think about how, if I'm not there, who is in my seat? Are they making it safe for other people to be here? For people who are younger, who are women, or, you know, from our Rainbow and Takatāpui community, or have a disability, or simply just have a different opinion to other people, because that's actually allowed. Are they someone who's accepting of that and accepting of the discussion you have with those people in the room, or are they going to make it unsafe? Because that's something that really makes me think about, you know, who am I as a Pākehā middle class, currently middle class, you know, person in these spaces, am I representative of things? And then I think, well, I've lived through poverty, so I have an experience of that to bring to the table. But, you know, I do want to see more ethnic diversity on our council. But actually, if I'm there and I'm making it safer for Māori, for migrants, for other people who might otherwise be really uncomfortable with what has been the status quo, I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing a good job. Like, I'm yeah. serving a purpose.
Yeah.
I'm not just there to take up space and take home a paycheck, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's really important to think about in terms of, you know, if you have goals of diversity but you don't necessarily tick yeah. all the boxes of diversity, you know, like, what are you doing to be supportive of that cause?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that, I mean, this is probably, like, a broad observation, but maybe sometimes when it comes to the council, like, oftentimes I feel like the women are there to represent the community and the men are sometimes there because they enjoy the feeling of power that they have by making the decisions. So yeah. they're for the wrong reasons. They're yep. for very different reasons as well. And I feel like that's, like, all comes back to the way that we operate differently to them, so.
Mm. Or the way we are raised and the role models that we see.
That social conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, my colleague Moko Tauriki from the Māori ward, I love him with all my heart, you know? And we have a really delightful relationship, and I'm so grateful that he's on council. And I think the same of our Māngai Māori, Norm Hill. I love sitting next to Norm, and he, you know, he'll, like, cover me and be like, so this topic, what do you think?
You yeah, know? Yeah, yeah.
But we need more men like that, not less.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, and I think that it can be really daunting for people to want to step into the space.
Mm.
And that's something I grapple with a lot in terms of, well, if I talk about this abuse, it's going to make some people not want to stand. But should they go into it eyes wide open? Should they go into it and know what might come at them and be prepared? And is that better in the long run?
Yeah, the harsh reality, just to know.
Because if you came into this and had no idea and then feel like you've made a terrible mistake, but you're in this for 3 years.
Yeah.
And it is expensive to run a campaign to be elected, and you have to be really vulnerable and be like, hello, I would like to be your candidate, and I think I would do a good job. Please vote for me. Like, that's a level of, like, vulnerability with your community of, like,
yeah,
please don't chuck your voting papers in the bin and,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, like, disregard this.
Yeah.
But if you come the other side of it and you're successful and then you hate it or you really struggle with how you're treated, it's hard to feel like all of the investment and the vulnerability that you've done is worth it. So I think a lot about making sure that people understand the reality, even if that reality is unpleasant. But also trying to say to people, hey, if you want to be a candidate, come talk to me. Like,
yeah.
even if we don't agree on everything, there's very few people I would say I agree with on everything. But actually, it's that diversity of opinion that's really useful. And being like, oh, you wanted to do that? Okay, well, talk me through it.
yeah.
But yeah, I think what's so important and what makes it easier for people to stand is having support. And I am much saner and much happier from having people on our current council who stick by me.
Any last words from anyone? Any advice? Things we didn't touch on?
Well, thank you for having me.
No, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming along.
thank and you for knowing what council does and yeah. being interested.
I think it's a really important sphere of the workforce that needs to be shared more with young people. Mm. And yeah, it's cool. Just, like, breaking down the barriers that someone in council or someone in politics isn't scary and is just like everyone else pretty much, you know?
Mm. Yeah, their representation for women as well. It's just, like, really cool that to know, because I actually didn't know that there was, like, almost an equivalent balance of, like, men and women in council. So I think it's really cool to, like, learn about that as well.
This is the only time it's ever happened.
Yeah.
In the whole history of council, which is, like, over 100 and something years.
That's amazing.
Woo, 2022 term.
Cool. Okay. I'll end it here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.